What's up, guys? Jake here. Just wanted to let you know that due to me and our guests being really fucking tired, it being the last day of PAX, everybody's exhausted. We're using handheld mics and they were just kind of moving around too much as people were slowly collapsing from exhaustion. So some parts of the show are a little quiet. Tried what I could to get that fixed, best as I could. So if you're driving, you should probably skip this episode for right now and then come back to it later when you can listen to it with headphones. You know, or don't, whatever. I'm not your dad.
Hey everyone, you are listening to a very special supplemental episode of ROMs Over Baghdad. It's Monday, we're at PAX, it's raining.
It's Seattle.
It is Seattle. Yeah, Monday at PAX. Woo!
Who's alive?
Who is alive? Who do we got here? Roll call.
My name is Dylan.
We can just keep your first name, Pudi. That's cool.
Yeah, Pudi Tang.
Wadata.
Wadata.
I am Tessa. Also known as Tesseract.
So, I think we're going to start this off. Who wants to go first? It's like the end of PAX. What did you guys do?
Should we just run from the top, like day one?
Sure. Go for it. You guys have been going around as a group, right?
Mm-hmm. Big group.
Day one, we didn't do shit on the show.
You got to get right up on the mic.
We made minimal use of our passes for Friday, which was...
Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Went to see Giant Bomb. Is that right?
We saw the Giant Beast cast live mm-hmm. over at the Parlor. Mm-hmm. That was great.
It's really nice that they have their own venue so close.
Yeah.
Seems really chill as well. Mm-hmm. Like, all the seating and everything. We're just hanging out, meeting folks.
Last year it was it was still the GameSpot Lounge this year as well, but last year it was cramped. I didn't mind it, but a lot of people just, like, it wasn't that fun to hang out at.
That's strange, though, because wasn't it premium members only?
It was a restaurant, yeah, mm-hmm. but there was still a ton of people in there.
Yeah.
It was, they just converted a restaurant. It wasn't like an actual like comedy lounge or anything that was specifically set up for something like that.
Interesting.
But yeah, it was super crowded last year. Yeah, I meant to go to the thing on Thursday night, but mm-hmm. I got in pretty late.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
yeah. Yeah, they were just kind of clearing out at that point, but everyone was very approachable.
Yeah.
It was interesting seeing folks that I only know in like a two-dimensional format on my computer screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Right there. And I suddenly realized how little I had in the way of conversation with them. Like, I just don't know how to, like, oh, hey, I've seen you on the internet. Well, yeah, no shit.
Even, like, journalists act that way, though. Yeah. Like, I was talking, we met up with, like, we saw Sean Alexander there.
Yeah.
Lego Butts, mm-hmm. Samantha Kalman was there.
Mm-hmm. She was there right before we got in.
Wait,
but Catherine
Lego
saw her.
Butts.
Their PR for Dave Lang's turnover Iron Galaxy Studios. So,
gotcha.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, you can see them up there. Yeah, lots of hugs.
Lots of hugs.
when I got in, I was not sure of the etiquette. I have heard a lot about the PAX bump.
Yeah, I know Brad Shoemaker goes. He abides heavily by the fist bump.
I mean, he doesn't take his phone into the washroom, so like I expect that from him, I guess. But yeah, lots of hugs and handshakes, and everyone was very trusting. So if you're listening to this in the hospital, I'm so. What happened from there? What did we even do on Friday? We did the Beast Cast, which was really cool. I've never heard Austin speak. Yeah.
Mario Party.
Yep. I was there too. That was crazy.
They figuratively locked the doors mm-hmm. to the room.
Except everybody was leaving.
It was like watching a car accident.
Yeah. For 5 hours.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Four hours.
Yeah.
Four straight hours.
At this point, I feel as though it's bordering on like performance art. If they're going to do it live, mm-hmm. it's how long can they endure this test of skill? But it's also seeing them unravel.
Computer's making noises. It's not happy with me. You may be a victim of software counterfeiting.
Sick.
I haven't activated this copy of Windows yet. That's probably why it's doing that. All right, we're good still.
Yeah, did you leave during the...
No, I was there the whole time.
Yeah, okay.
Stayed, 'cause I knew some shit was going to go down at the end. I knew at the very end it was going to be worth staying.
Yeah.
And it was.
I'm like, so proud.
Maybe
true.
We shouldn't spoil it for those who haven't seen it yet.
Whoops. Cut that.
What did you say? Okay. We didn't say anything.
Keep rolling.
Didn't say anything. There wasn't a cut moment. We didn't spoil it.
Okay.
This podcast is going to be 10 minutes at the end.
Nice to meet you.
After I cut everything out.
This is the new intro. The Mario Party is an interesting thing because we saw them having a lot of fun the night before.
And then a lot
just
of
enjoying
not
themselves,
fun.
Enjoying life as people, as esports celebrities like Brad Shoemaker.
Yeah. By the end, they were 10 years older.
They're 10 years older. They look 50 years older. Mm-hmm. And they're
That's how
soulless.
Mario Party works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I know.
They have to parse it between Mario Party parties so that they can actually regain a bit of their soul. Enough to give
sure.
to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Brave man.
Give to the other side.
what else?
That was it?
That was it.
Oh, no, that wasn't it Friday.
We walked around a bit.
Yeah. We saw...
I bailed on you guys. I was going to meet up with you guys after that, but I was just like...
It was so busy.
I kept looking for the shorts.
Yeah.
You described your shorts really well.
Yeah. They're dumb.
I didn't see them, though. Do you have them here?
I'll
see them after the podcast. Yeah. I'm sure.
It's important.
Sure.
Yeah. Get them signed. What, how about yourself?
So you guys, I didn't really even get to the show floor.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure why I bought a Friday pass.
Mm-hmm.
Same with today. I'm only going to be on the show floor for like an hour or two tops. Because I got to go to the airport at 3. Mm-hmm. So
I would definitely like, if anyone hasn't been to PAX Prime before and you're going to go next year or even for East, like maybe consider, well, okay, maybe still get a Friday pass. But... if it's, especially if you're a first timer, you're probably not going to use it a lot. Unless you're primed, ready to go, and prepared. But who is ever any of those things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year was my first one, and it was kind of a clusterfuck.
Yeah, it's pretty chaotic in there. Like, I don't know what I was necessarily expecting from PAX.
This just a bunch of Firefall booths.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, I guess just how little floor space there is available once you actually get inside.
Yeah.
At least showing like, in all the booths and stuff. And the lineups. I think like once we did get on the floor, I started becoming a bit of a snob about how people are showing off their demos.
Oh, yeah. Makes
sense.
Like, some of them do. And some of them seem like, oh, just keep playing until you finish the game. And then you can step away and, like, just do your thing. And, like, I totally understand how excited people are to play the games. But also, some of those lines are insane.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit in line for 2 hours to try out Oculus or whatever the fuck, you know.
Like the bigger companies, they can afford all those booths, but the little ones, I don't know. I feel for them. Like
it's still
having to like show off their game to as many people as possible to like even get any word out, and yet
and they have way fewer resources. Like usually, at most, maybe 2 or 3 monitors, setups, consoles, whatever, for people to actually play. But you also see some of them managing it way better than the big companies.
Mm-hmm.
I think the easiest way for big companies to do it is like what Capcom did with like Street Fighter. Have it in an open booth, like easily accessible by everyone. Mm-hmm. People just walk up and play until people kick them off or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not...
Oh, yeah. Like, I walked by the Street Fighter booth, and I thought that was a pretty neat setup, actually.
It was organized in a weird way. Mm-hmm.
They benefit from everyone knowing how to play Street Fighter.
Like, right. That's one of the easiest things to pick up at PAX, for sure. Yeah. And that's not true for a lot of other games. But, I mean, when they're showing off a vertical slice, like something that people actually planned out, I understand that there's so much that they have to show in order to sell someone on their game. It's interesting to see how many companies do it differently. Like, we tried Just Cause 3 on Saturday.
Yeah.
That was one of the first things we actually played. And that's just this Rocket Frenzy mode where they just have all these, like, command tower things. And here's infinite RPGs, grenades. You get to try out the grappling hook and wingsuit, and you can go out of the zone if you want, but you have, like, a couple minutes to just blow these things up.
I think it's the old, if you go out of the zone, there's, like, a really short countdown timer.
And
it might have been another map.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was
neat.
That's a good way to show that game, because it's explosions. Mm-hmm. Good looking.
Just Cause 3 is Just Cause 3. Yeah. It's exactly what
it's more of Just Cause. Yeah. Yeah.
And personally, I find shooting the weapons in those games like the least satisfying thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just grappled around and tested out the wingsuit, seeing how you could break the game or break gravity with it.
Yeah.
And you totally can, and it's very satisfying. Nice. And I'm so excited for the multiplayer mod.
The inevitable multiplayer mod. Yeah.
Wait,
otherwise,
they're not having multiplayer.
There's
like,
no official. Yeah.
They'll at least not.
What the fuck are they doing?
Even if they try and implement it, like it takes someone outside of, I guess, like maybe an actual alien to create something as ridiculous as the
it
multiplayer
mod. It has to
be
broken.
So,
it can't be like an official thing, or else
that's
it's
true.
Not
that's true. Yeah.
I mean, how else am I going to play with 300 people on a single map?
Yeah.
Dropping limos out of the sky. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's true. The Just Cause 2 multiplayer mod's kind of just insanity.
Yeah. I'll miss them. We played Dad Game.
Dad Game?
Dad.
Well, okay, start off with the survival thing.
Oh, I played Death Road to Canada.
Death Road.
What is
Canada?
That?
I was hoping that there would be more Canada in there. It's a zombie apocalypse game, and it's kind of pixely, top-down. I think someone said it, it was a lot like Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail, yep.
Yeah, it's Oregon Trail, but the zombie thing. And like,
so there's Oregon Trail, which was a zombie like spin-off of Oregon Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And
now there's
made.
This.
Now
as
there's
well.
This. This is
so
like,
I don't know. It was it was neat. There was some nice little UI things. I liked that like player exhaustion and exertion was kind of shown through the person, like the little cutesy person's face. They get red and flushed, and then they start sweating.
Then they turn into a zombie.
Yeah, yeah. That was neat. I just kind of barreled through it. But I got to talk to the designer of the game that Dylan got to play, and that was pretty interesting.
Dad by the Sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's a as far as I understand it, it's a like procedurally generated first person sword game. It uses a kind of melee system that's kind of similar to like Dead Island's thing, where you can angle the weapon you're using.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of just hit the left mouse button to draw the sword, and then you wiggle it around with the mouse. And it's goofy. It's kind of it's small. I don't know. So
they've brought waggling to the PC.
Essentially, with the mouse, like you could use motion controls with that. It kind of had a like, I don't know what to call it, like an Ocarina of Time style, like with the shading and everything and the armor designs.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a fantasy dungeon crawler type thing, with a lot of dad puns and food pickups like ribs, burgers, good stuff.
Good work stuff. Boots and stuff.
Also, just all of the perks are dad puns.
Okay. Just like, okay. I don't care about dad puns. I care about dad jokes, and I care about dads. Dear dad, like Dave, I want to hear about it. Yeah. I did enjoy the animations in the game, and the design was really strong. I like the fact that if you swung your sword down really, really hard, you hit the ground so hard that you jumped up.
It was basically
a
jump
rocket
up.
Jump, but a sword.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. Yeah, I don't know if that might not be intended.
Yeah,
it's like they said that they did it by accident and then it was a feature, I guess.
Oh, they just straight up tribes it, kept it in.
And if you exhaust your sword, it.
Oh yeah, that was embarrassing.
I don't know what to say.
It becomes flaccid.
It becomes flaccid. You get a floppy sword for like 20 seconds. Don't swing.
Great.
Don't swing too fast.
Yeah. That was so neat. Anything else? Yeah.
Halo 2.
It was really cool to see that they had the classic game rooms.
Classic free play stuff.
Yeah.
As far as I saw last year, it was just like modern, or it was just console free play, like all one room, split into every generation. But this year they had a like PC free play, they had classic console free play, arcade free play, which had some okay arcade cabinets.
There's a shitload of pinball machines in there, right?
Yeah, there were a good number of pinball machines. They had Final Fight, they had NARC, which NARC is a real dumb game. I had no idea what NARC was before. But
now you know.
So many bags of cocaine, says Tilda Bees. Yep, it's accurate.
Me. I played a really interesting game.
When some of us are playing Halo 2, some of us rented like Halo 1 on the Xbox.
We rented it from a Blockbuster down the road.
Yeah,
no,
Video Store
we,
Not Dead.
There was some,
you have to, like, check them out, right? At the, like, the front, whatever.
You
check,
like, give
them
your ID or something. Yeah. Something that you can.
It was all set up.
It's a collateral thing.
Here, let me paint you a word picture. So, I was watching Philbies and Cootie play Halo 2. Halo 2, official game of the movie, Halo 2. And on the other side, there was just some dude who was like, "Hey, do you want to play some Halo as well?" And I was like,
"Is that how we talk?"
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, "I mean, okay, I don't know you, but sure." And you're gonna destroy me. I figure, like, oh, he wants to play multiplayer. And he's like, "No, let's play some campaign. This is the first time I played this with the Duke controller." And I was like, "Oh, was he not around? Did he not play Xbox? Like, is this his first time playing Halo?" And we start playing, and it turns out he is part of a group that is modding the fuck out of original Halo 1, and it sounds like Halo 2. He brought out his laptop after we had tried to play it with the controllers.
Yeah.
He brought out his laptop and showed me a build of this game that they have, and it's called SPV3,
yep.
Single Player Version 3. And it's Halo 1, but entirely rebuilt. Is it on the same engine? He was telling me, like,
using the same geometry, and it's more or less the same engine. They just did an insane amount of work with, like,
look like the same engine. It
view
looks
models,
fantastic.
Textures, wow. Particle effects, yeah. Everything. They're with the, like, the CMT custom mapping team, which is like a bunch of old Halo community modders and custom map makers. And I guess they've been working on this for seems like a pretty damn long time.
Yeah.
And it's different than like Halo Anniversary.
Yeah,
they made it kind of their own thing, and it still feels like Halo 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like you still know that you're playing through Halo 1's story.
But you have what was it from Reach? The active bonuses.
Yeah, you have the armor abilities.
Yeah, you have armor abilities.
One of those is the Halo ODST visor.
No, that's just standard.
That was
an ability. Yeah, it was really bizarre seeing basically a mashup of every Halo game in one. And he was telling me about some of the weapons where he would just take the idea of a weapon that's, God, there was one that was not, like, it was in Halo 5, and he saw it, and he was like, oh, that's interesting. And then he...
just gonna put it into the first game.
He didn't, that's the thing. He just, like, was like, oh, I'll take that, and then I'll just redesign it for this other purpose. Like, they're just lifting from all these other, all these different places. And I'm not really sure where their end goal is with this. It's not exactly something
they just keep tacking numbers on the end of it. Like, it'll be SPV4.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a fun thing that they
use.
Yeah,
it seems like just genuine love, but it looks so...
it's really fantastic. Good for your portfolio, too.
Yeah.
Like,
you're
looking for a job in the industry.
So. I guess, I don't know, just looking it up really quick, there are videos still calling it SPV3 from, like, 2012.
Wow.
And so I guess they must have just overhauled it or something. But the same people are still working on it.
I'm sure their releases are by, like, 3.01, 3.02, 3.15, something like that. So.
Yeah, out of nowhere, just meeting some dude that, like...
I guess his name was Masters1337. He's the co-lead. Yep. I had to give a plug.
Yeah, man.
The dude was nice.
No, shout out. His name is Neil Kong.
Okay.
Is there a website on there on that card or anything?
You can look him up on Twitter as Masters1337
with an Z, Masters. Yeah. Yeah, that was neat. That's like a lot of devs just walk around with builds of their game, and they're probably not like looking to show it to everyone. But I think a lot of people, like, if you ever see someone with a build of their game, it'd probably be cool with, like, demoing it really quick.
Yeah, and they learn a lot from just showing it to people, so they'd probably benefit quite a bit. That was neat, also, seeing people with smart glass, maybe. How many times have we seen smart glass in the wild? but, like, yeah, just going around being like, oh, let me plug the 360 controller in here and then see how you do. And like, these surprise game demos. Just going around. It was exciting.
Cool.
What next? We stopped by the Iron Galaxy booth while we were missing the PAX Rumble. which
what?
We missed the PAX Rumble. But
I know about
totally
it.
Because I woke up pretty late.
That's okay.
I'm not a morning person, apparently.
I was there, and I wasn't feeling super hot, and then they had to evac the place.
Yeah, so...
because I think it was Alex Rubin's, his quote-unquote pyrotechnics that were just, like, confetti.
He had some guy working...
or it was a fog machine or something. Yeah. I looked on Twitter, it was either a fog machine or it was the confetti that set off the fire alarm in the Hyatt, and they had to evac the whole... I'm not sure if it was the whole hotel, or if it was just all of the theaters, or what, but there was tons of people out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're currently in the Paramount Hotel, which is right across the street from the Hyatt. So I was just like,
it's still
this.
On fire.
I was like, fuck it's this. Still burning. I'm just gonna go back to my room and go get some more sleep, because I got up pretty early for that.
Yeah, I guess it was a fog machine so that when people entered the stage that they would get some wrestling fog.
instead they
know,
got...
that's the industry term,
instead
wrestling
it
fog.
Just filled the entire room where they were keeping it.
Yeah, and... I mean, can we give the inside details? it was like Alex Rubin's friend was the power technician, and he might have not known what he was doing. Who knows? But, like, I guess Alex Rubin had to take the flack for it.
Yeah.
But
that's pretty funny.
It sounded crazy.
Sounded like a good time.
I don't know. I still don't know who won, but we're not going to spoil it here.
Oh, I do. And I'm seeing them later today.
Okay. I know who it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very, very happy for the champion. This is, our PAX thing, missing things, watching games from afar.
Anyway, so we stopped by the Iron Galaxy booth. Dabling was obviously, like, at the other place.
What else did you guys do?
We saw Capsule Force there and Video Ball.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to any panels?
The only panels I really went to were the Giant Bomb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. I'm used to conventions and things where it's generally more for work or more for that is why you go kind of
right,
thing.
Right. Yeah.
So I loaded. I checked off a bunch of things. Didn't get to see them all, but that's totally fine. Lots of things on games writing, mm-hmm. stuff like that. There were.
Can you tell me how to get into games journalism?
You don't. No.
you just don't.
Yeah. It was interesting because I think because of the general draw of video games, there's like a much lower bar for entry with people coming in seeing the panels, and they kind of tailor them for that. And mm-hmm. I think that's really great. Like, we saw kids coming into panels about journalism. Mm-hmm. I mean, they covered their ears
Games
whenever.
And
whenever.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really happy that they got to see it. It was just, I wish I had more time because I'd go up to the people and chat more just about specific things. Everyone's very friendly. It was really, really great. Have not seen any tournaments yet. Still looking.
I heard there was a Kerbal tournament.
How do you do that though?
Yeah.
Space race.
Kerbal space program mm-hmm. tournament.
Yeah.
Must be a tournament to kill
most
Kerbals.
Round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kerbal deathmatch.
Kerbal deathmatch. There we go.
Yeah.
Kerbal deathmatch program.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Star Wars program, but you have Kerbals up there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you looking at on your phone?
Just the other stuff we played. We sat in line for like an hour and a half, hour, for Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, which was...
Worth it?
Our only... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was
yeah.
very short, but
it was...
It was
really short.
It's such a unique experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They, like, only one person in each pair got to actually wear the headset.
Right.
Trade.
The premise of the game is that, like, you have a procedurally generated bomb that has like a certain amount of modules and all these, it's like a puzzle box in a weird way. And one person wears the headset that can actually visually see the bomb, and the other person has to read off this instruction booklet and study it for a few minutes before playing. And it's almost, reminded me a little bit of Space Team, how mm-hmm. you just have to like shout instructions at someone and hope they understand what you're talking about.
Especially on the show floor, there's a lot of noise coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was neat. I really wish they could have just swapped the Oculus at the each time the bomb mm-hmm. exploded.
Yeah.
It I did not. I was the one wearing the headset, and I did not realize how much shit was in that binder. Mm-hmm. at the end, when it exploded, like he helped us figure out like. What went wrong? What was like the secret thing? Turns out, like, just a pro tip. If you start the game and you have the headset on, you should describe everything on the bomb. Like,
every little detail of it.
It turns out, you know, if like, two things on the side, yeah, that kind of means something else. And they know like the rubric for it, but
right.
You can miss a lot of details. But it is so tense and exciting being like, okay, now they tell you like, okay, now press the detonate button, but hold it. You're like, oh, everything about this tells me no. You're purposely trying to kill me or something. But, all these little finicky things with it were very cool.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty cool.
How was your experience reading off things in the binder?
It's a lot of like trying to give peripheral. Enough details to like get a visual image of it, mm-hmm. the bomb.
Yeah.
But all of the instructions are basically like, you know, high school word puzzles. Like, if they'll,
Richard and
they'll
Janet went to the
one
store.
Aspect of like a button, and maybe the button's there, maybe it's not, maybe it's a different color, mm-hmm. maybe it doesn't have the abort text on it. So you have to go through all these things that I'm sure will change as like as the game grows, but it's a puzzle for both players, and it's really interesting.
And you also don't need the Oculus for it.
Yep.
Which like I get it because they want as many people to play this game because
How
it's so
do you
niche.
Play it without the Oculus.
Download it off Steam. Yeah. And you get a PDF and you print those out and then have like the other person facing away, I guess, or something.
Sure.
From the,
just
from
have
the screen.
So they can't see the screen.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So is it like a 3D, like the bomb is in?
Yeah,
like
yeah. You pick it up and then
polygonal thing.
Use the yeah. the 8 controller to manipulate it, and it highlights what parts you're selecting and
oh,
you
okay,
can do
cool.
and stuff. So
gotcha.
Yeah, it's I was a little worried about just like not being able to handle the bomb when I started, but everything worked quite well. Felt quite natural. So
I mean, it worked well until everyone blew up.
Well, yeah, but
in
whose fault is that?
You guys didn't keep talking.
Whose fault is that?
I imagined it like a multiplayer game where everyone actually has to keep a conversation up with other people,
yeah.
and they slowly blow up and
well,
die off.
Towards the end, like you were like screaming at your partner.
Free game idea. Right.
It's like, hey!
What else? What else? What else? What else?
I saw a lot of cosplay, which was very nice. Obviously,
yeah.
That was cool. It can be pretty distracting when you're like, oh shit, like that's my video game wife, you know, just walking around. yeah, you know, it was super cute, like the ones where it's like the kid. We saw a Sonic and Knuckles co-cosplay, mm-hmm. and it was a father and his daughter. The daughter was Sonic, and she was going fast. She had to, but
you gotta go
yeah,
fast.
The I'm not gonna fault them. But it was a Sonic Boom cosplay.
Great.
There was some
blue arms,
athletic tape. I guess
the
maybe.
Arms. Are really
yeah.
The arms are the issue.
Yeah,
the Sonic
she,
issue.
I didn't want to bother her about it because she is a child. But yeah, she shouldn't. She should know better.
She. Yeah. I saw what like cosplay stuff. Nothing topped the like Aqua Teen Hunger Force Carl that I saw last year.
Yeah.
Just
yeah, I have a picture
Ethan
of him
I saw
on
him
my
just,
Facebook page. Yeah, that was totally awesome.
Like leaning over a burger, sloppily eating it, being
that was
being
like the
a
last
human being.
Person we saw too. On
he
the
didn't
way out.
Yeah, he like it didn't feel like he was actually in a costume. It just felt like the guy. It just felt like Carl.
Just happened
to be wearing the same exact stuff. Like yeah. the white tank top and just like blue sweatpants. And
did he look like him?
Oh yeah,
I think I saw him
yeah.
actually. Just not eating a burger. So we have just heard word about the Cards Against Humanity Kitten Room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that we have enough time to check that out later. Yeah, unless the kittens get sleepy. God knows what Max Temkin is up to next, but
he's just gonna donate pizza to a bunch of kittens.
Yeah.
Like apparently he did with.
Was at the Sheraton bar, I think,
yeah.
after
yeah.
the bombs panel. He
30
ordered
pizzas.
Bought 30
were
pizzas.
Were they the same pizzas, though? Because I heard the last year the pizzas were like,
pizza. When you're ordering
yeah,
bulk
yeah.
pizza, they're making them fast.
Yeah.
That's true.
Made to order. I guess there's not that much more. I'm a Souls fan. I'm a Souls. I like the Souls games, and I don't like a lot of the Souls discussion. I didn't get to play Dark Souls 3, but I saw some of it, and it looked okay. It looked like, I don't know, it looked pretty. I'm glad that they're using the Bloodborne engine. The first region looked...
It looks a lot like Bloodborne.
A lot like yeah. Bloodborne.
Which,
they, like,
I'm not
a bunch
complaining.
Of fog just... flowing through, and
kind
of Victorian area castle thing.
I mean, yeah.
Which doesn't break. I don't know. The enemies looked a lot more like Dark Souls 1, mm-hmm. Which is neat. I didn't. Dark Souls 2 is my least favorite, but whatever. Anyway, that none of that matters because they're all the same game.
You're talking into your hand.
Yeah.
That's why she keeps moving your hand.
We're just tired. I'm just...
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all kind of tired. Lack of enthusiasm for the intro, probably.
Yeah. What else?
Probably showed that.
Yeah. I think I'd really like to have a room like where you're staying next year.
It's easier for everyone to just get in and out.
Yeah, we've got an Airbnb a ways up, but it's walkable. It's just like...
Only having one set of keys and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad time. Lessons learned. We also went... We broke from PAX briefly. We went to see Mabim Bam, my brother and me, the podcast by the McElroy...
The McElroy brothers.
Triplets.
We did miss
the Giant Bomb podcast.
Right, we missed the Giant Bomb panel because of that, but that was okay.
Yeah.
Because...
Nothing crazy happened at the Giant Bomb panel.
It sounded normal, which is not in tradition.
How do you feel about that?
Like,
I was super tired and kind of dehydrated at that point, so yeah. I was contemplating not going to it, and then like halfway through it, I realized, oh, this is just gonna be a normal panel.
Yeah.
Game Bomb.ru
did not make an appearance, unfortunately.
Yeah, their own panel this year.
And once they started the Q&A thing, like where I was sitting, I couldn't see like anything. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of funny that Jeff kind of shut down the whole "how do I get into games journalism" question. Like, somebody, the first person. Well, they didn't ask that question, but they kind of hesitated. They're like, "My question is," and he's like, he just kind of took over from there. And I'm surprised that nobody. Like behind those people in line, like turned around left.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of people leaving when it came time for question and answers, but it sounds like it was pretty bearable.
Yeah.
So for the most part, the questions were pretty good.
No offense cringe. To anybody that asked questions, but
the delivery on some of the questions were a little awkward. But then the questions overall were solid questions.
That's good.
Takes guts to go up there and ask questions, especially if it's something live streamed.
Yeah, definitely.
We have questions.
We have questions from our
not live
channel.
Chat, Twitter.com.
Twitter.com. I should
also
check,
a couple other games. We saw Moonrakers there, which looked that was at like the Adult Swim booth, I think, by Star Mazer.
I don't remember any of
this. Anyway, and then I played a game called Grapple that was like. Almost Spider-Man-y. You just play as a blob and extend your goo to platform and swing on 3D platforms.
Oh, the moon platform. Game.
Moonrakers.
Is that the one I played?
No.
No, okay. I played a different moon game.
Yeah, you played a 2D thing.
And it broke a bunch, but it's, you know, it's so early. It's very cool.
What was Distance? That car game? Again?
Yeah, it was the, like, audio surf and kind of blurred it up.
Blur the video game Codemasters. Rest in peace.
It's the spiritual successor to a game called Nitronic Rush, which was, like, made by DigiPen students. Had a fucking great soundtrack to it.
Cool.
Just good car sounds. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, it looks really fun.
We have some from Mixler buddies.
Shoot. Let's hear them.
Okay.
Because I honestly did not really do a whole lot PAX-wise this year, which was kind of a bummer, but, you know.
It's all good.
Yeah. It was nice to get a vacation.
You see a bunch of people from the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To meet you guys.
Yeah.
We got a question from Niall of Ireland. He wants to know how many food crimes were committed. Crimes. And there were a lot.
Oh, okay. This is a good time. Yeah.
There's a place, a kind of sandwich place, diner. I don't even know what to call it. It's called Saley's Classic, and it's like two blocks north of the convention center. It's a cool spot if you want some good breakfast sandwiches, like a bacon, egg, cheese, baguette. Go there next year.
Yeah,
look for it. It's pretty okay. There's a lot of good food around here.
Despite that, we Saley's
went there four times.
Four times.
Because it's convenient and pretty cheap.
That's all right. Dylan and I went to Taco Del Mar like three times last year.
Yep.
Nice.
So.
Yep. Went there once this year, again, too.
So did I, yeah. That was like, Friday
convenient.
Night, I think. I was just super hungry.
Food mistakes, you know? Food stunts.
Yeah.
awesome food spots. I ate at Stale Day of Doritos. That was my nice. Crime against culinary art.
Oh, and I went to that that little market that's right outside the convention center, like Clay's mm-hmm. Market or whatever, and I got like corn dog off the little like rotating grill thing, nice. Like convenience store corn dog. Great. So I guess that's
a food mistake.
Arguably worse than yeah, that's, Taco Del Mar. Yeah,
that's a food crime yeah. for sure. Absolutely.
It's pretty good.
Question from Arahak at Arahak on Twitter: do the IGN cast got the worst hair?
Do the IGN cast got the worst hair? Is that what that says?
Yes.
Those are some words.
Yeah. Greg Miller's hair is, I don't remember. Well, so if it's not memorable. It's like,
should I read off some other questions?
Read them.
There's a question from the Pork.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Since I have a question. Who is this?
Who is this?
what is
PAX and who went there? And why and have you ever seen that movie Pootie Tank?
Potty Tank.
Have you seen Potty Tank?
Yeah.
The educational video for children.
Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark.
TY, happy face.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
PAX is big. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely worth going. Even like whatever. I don't know how to pitch PAX at this point because it's just
video games.
It's hella video
and you
games,
like things,
but
they probably have something there for you. Like,
yeah.
It's labyrinthine.
If you want to run into devs just kind of doing their thing and yeah. you're not going to like bug them about it,
yeah.
then that's cool too. It feels like everyone's kind of living in the same city for a couple days.
Yeah.
And that there's just like, there are tons of game devs already out in Seattle.
Right.
But it's a weird meeting of all that. Was it worth it more for the friends you saw there or the game? I would say at this point, the people I saw, because it's when you get to hear crazy stories from devs or just meet people that wouldn't otherwise have an excuse to go to Seattle, whether they're like across the coast or Europe or something, then...
I definitely came here for the people, not only you folks, but also just like knowing some people purely through Twitter and
right.
mm-hmm. and stuff like that, having I don't know, just getting a hug from them, you know, you were constantly kind of bombarded with like, oh wait, I totally recognize that face,
right?
Oh, who is yeah. oh yeah
you
oh,
just
shit.
See a lot of people around,
they made that game, yeah, like I recognized Sean Alexander
mm-hmm.
Because of his Twitter avatar, and it is not even a photo of his face. It is like a in-game picture of him, and it's all pixely, and it's just like, that has to be him, or it's just someone like cosplaying as yeah. his avatar.
Also, he was, that guy was super
cosplaying
nice.
As? Somebody's Twitter avatar.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy was rad.
Yeah.
And also, I remembered how hard it is to compliment people, because...
How so?
Well, it's like, if anyone does any work in journalism or they just have a funny Twitter
yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
Or,
I like that thing you do.
Yeah.
I saw like, Nina thanks. Freeman and I didn't know how to talk to her. So like I said, hi, I follow you from online or something. And it's very embarrassing. But like, how do you say, I love it when you post selfies or talk about anime. And it, she also makes games and
right.
her games are super interesting. I just... Yeah, you don't always have the venue for, like, hey, you're showing this game right now. Like,
yeah,
if they're just
exactly,
walking around
exactly.
or something, you don't want to, like, intrude.
I saw one of the guys from Cappy Games out having a cigarette, and
yeah.
I had to double-check that Sword and Sorcery was made by
yeah.
them, because
yeah.
I thought it was, like,
yeah.
like a collaboration between them and somebody
yeah.
else. And I walked over there, I was like, dude, really liked Sword and Sorcery.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I waited in line. For the Below demo, that honestly the game is like, it's pretty interesting, but it almost is not showing the art that I'm more interested in. But like I waited in line because I wanted to say, hey, thank you for Sword and Sorcery, because you make great games. Yeah.
I didn't get to see Cuphead. I saw a Cuphead mascot.
Yeah. I saw Cup Boy walking around.
I wanted to play Cuphead. Hearing that game's a lot of boss fights and stuff, like, sounds maybe not what I was expecting, but I'm sure it's pretty cool and it looks pretty fucking great.
Yeah, like when I heard it was all boss fights, I was kind of like, but then at the same time, it's like, you got to remember all that stuff's hand drawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand animated and all that stuff. So it'd be kind of insane if you're going to make full levels before a boss fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, what was your, I don't know, like, there wasn't anything that was supremely disappointing. I was going to just say, like, what was the most disappointing thing, most surprising thing? But what was your favorite thing?
How to get into games journalism.
Yeah. How to get into games journalism.
Video James.
Yeah. Video James.
Most disappointing thing was just the fact that there's all the lineups. Like, it would be cool to, like, drop in, drop out, but I...
Get
like,
a ticket system so or something.
People, and I really don't mind the crowds because it's so interesting to see all the different people around.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing?
Halo 2. Halo 2.
Halo 2. I can't believe Halo 2 is coming out.
Halo 2 is finally at PAX.
Yeah. Finally. They brought it. You have to, like, ask. It's, like, behind the curtains. But Halo 2, it's big. Turns out video games are big. So. Mm-hmm.
Video games are like...
Are you guys joking about Halo 2?
Yeah, I don't know. We do this goof where we just talk about Halo 2.
It's a really good video game.
Is it?
I mean, I don't even know if it's a video game, but it's...
Yeah. Most exciting thing was hugs.
Meeting people, go to PAX, go to whatever PAX is closest to you, find people that are going, or just go on your own, run into people.
Yeah, and don't feel obligated to go, like, play all the games and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I probably spent a grand total of 4 hours.
You can spend on the show floor one day's pass doing that and, like, another...
Pick the games. Two to three days. Check out.
Walking around.
Yeah, check out, like, the guidebook, and it'll tell you who's all there and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Panels are always a good excuse, too.
People need to sit down for a while.
Yeah. Just hop into a room and listen to a panel. Everyone there's always super approachable, even the Giant Bomb guys and e-celebs or whatever. It's pretty amazing. No one's a jerk. Yep.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Any last things?
Who wants to plug stuff? You guys got stuff you guys want to plug? I'm sure you do.
What's our Twitter at?
My Twitter at is Pootsitang, POOTSITANG. I post a lot of fucking garbage and make bad jokes.
A lot of stuff about food and pizza.
He's an e-celeb, e-comedian.
Funny man. I'll start posting, like, doodles and stuff. A lot of what I say is not safe for work, so don't browse my stuff at work.
One of your recent ones?
Do it.
I don't know. It might turn people away.
Which one?
They have to discover it on themselves. You were drawing Jughead.
Oh, don't mention that one.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I gotta go look at this now.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Please don't. A lot of bad jokes. Dad jokes. Dadjokes.com.
Very thankful.
Check it out.
I am a illustrator. I draw definitely not safe for work stuff. I've got a erotica website, TessaBlack.com, and, you know, awaken something in yourself, I guess. I don't know. Don't do it. Don't. Whatever you want. I'm on Twitter, but it's like at Tesseract, TessaWracked.
You did it.
Yeah. I talk about garbage pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. We're all garbage.
I think that's how we all use our Twitter accounts.
Yeah. It's just
and a Pidget, like companies.
It's an endless voice. Because that'll usually throw garbage in.
Pretty good support real quick. That's
true. Anything else? That sounds good. Catherine? Tilda Bees? Anything?
The silent one?
No,
it's okay.
She is like our moderator.
She's our moderator.
Yeah, if
she's your PR guy.
if we fuck up, she's gonna like pull us off screen. Mm-hmm.
Your handler.
Yeah.
Drop the curtain.
Yeah. Dabling's handler. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you so much for having us on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem.
This is rad. shout outs to Mixler and obviously like Rams Over Baghdad. All you guys.
Roms Over Baghdad's Twitter account can be found at Romsbag, ROMSBAG. My Twitter account is also really stupid, and it's the name. my Twitter handle is really long. J to the A to the COB. So as usual, send in emails for the regular show. If you got any other questions, hit us up on Twitter. Know where to get all of us at. So thank you for listening, and
play the game.
Play the game.